WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work.
Illinois' senior U.S. Senator, Democrat Dick Durbin, has served the state since 1983 when he went to Washington as House Representative. This was back during the Reagan administration. He then joined the Senate in 1997. And today, we got word that he will not seek re-election when his term is up at the start of 2027. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Our state politics reporter Dave McKinney sat down for an exclusive in-person interview with Senator Durbin to talk about his decision and his more than four decades in Congress. And Dave joined us to explain how big of a moment this is for Illinois politics. Here's Dave.
Well, it's a huge moment. I mean, it's a storyline that I would say arguably is probably one of the top two storylines right now in Illinois. Politically speaking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, dating back really back to the summer, there was a lot of speculation ahead of the Democratic convention about what Durbin's plans would be. And of course, there is a huge array of people lining up and that have been lining up to kind of position themselves in the event that Durbin would come to the choice that he has just come to.
Yeah. What was at the heart of this move for Durbin? What did he tell you?
Well, I think, you know, part of it is that, you know, he's surrounded in a chamber, the Senate, with folks who are much older than him. There's certainly lots of examples over time where people have been literally carried out, you know, on stretchers. And you have a colleague of his, Chuck Grassley, from the state of Iowa next door to Illinois. He's over 90. He's still functioning well, but age is a big thing in the Senate. There have been others there who, Dianne Feinstein, the California U.S. Senator, mm-hmm. who passed away recently. I mean, she is an example, I think, of somebody who probably overstayed the time in the Senate. Yeah. Durbin said he didn't want to do that. He wanted to, you know, while he's still healthy at age 80, very sharp mentally, physically doing well. I mean, he wanted to be able to kind of leave on his own terms.
Yeah, let's hear a bit of Durbin talking about exactly that.
You observe your colleagues and watch what happens. And for some of them, there's this miraculous aging process where they never seem to get too old. You take Bernie Sanders, for example, who's older than myself, or Chuck Grassley, who still does a town meeting in every county of the state each year. But for a number of people, they're not so lucky. So you watch aging, and I try to gauge it to the point where I can walk out the front door. I don't have to be carried out, and I feel that way now. I'm physically and mentally strong, but I don't want to wait too long and test fate.
Yeah, Dave, if you do the math there, if Durbin were to win another six-year term and stay until the end of that, he would be 88 at that point.
Yeah, and I think that was a primary consideration, Sasha, because, he's at a point where he has, a big family, kids, grandkids. He wants to enjoy some life, and I think he'll probably stay active in some way. You know, certainly I don't think this is the last we'll hear of Dick Durbin when he leaves in 2027. But, mm-hmm. I think that was the primary consideration. He just didn't want to overstay his welcome.
Sure. Let's go back. Who was Dick Durbin back in the early 80s, and how did he change as his profile grew?
Well, he first won election to the U.S. House of Representatives back in 1982. He represented part of Springfield and an area around Springfield in southern and western Illinois. You look back at him today. I mean, he's really kind of an anomaly. There aren't very many Democrats who are elected south of I-80 because it's a predominantly Republican area now. Mm-hmm. Back then, you know, he represented the area, you know, he was against abortion. He was, you know, he had been around Springfield for some period of time. He got his first break, I think, in government, going to work for the then Lieutenant Governor Paul Simon in the early 1970s. Simon, of course, went on to become U.S. Senator, and he was a real mentor to Durbin. So he started in Congress, and then he moved to the Senate.
Mm-hmm. It's been a remarkable run. It's been one that's free of scandal, Dave, which is rare for Illinois politicians, wouldn't you say?
Well, it certainly is. But, you know, there's sort of a through line for Durbin. I mean, I mentioned Simon. I mean, Simon is a former newspaper reporter who went on to serve in both the Congress, well, both the U.S. House and then Senate. Never any hint of corruption with him. And then prior to Simon, a few years prior to that, Simon's mentor was the Democratic Senator Paul Douglas. And Durbin really looked to both of those figures, Douglas and Simon, as kind of his templates for how to run and hold public office. It never seemed to be about making money for himself or doing favors for donors and wealthy mm-hmm. friends. I mean, it was all about just kind of, you know, being there and serving people. So he didn't run into the same kind of pitfalls that we have seen with former governors in Illinois, George Ryan and Rod Blagojevich, or the recent conviction of the House Speaker, former House Speaker Michael Madigan.
Durbin will have served 3 decades in the upper house. He's what's known as the minority whip, the second highest ranked senator in the Democratic caucus. He's been the Senate's number 2 Democrat for decades. I mean, that's really put him at the center of a lot of key debates, hasn't it?
It has. I mean, he's had kind of an outsized, voice in public policy at the federal level and in politics. His role really, we've seen him take on President Trump, for example, a lot of his policies. At the local level, he's been involved in picking like who the top federal prosecutor in Chicago is and trying to fight kind of a blockade in the Senate that existed with J.D. Vance when he was there mm-hmm. in the Senate. So, I mean, Durbin has really been, you know, integral to Illinois. And I think his loss is going to be a blow for the state because it takes a long time for senators, especially, to build up seniority and tenure in the Senate, and that really means something there because you kind of get first in line for things. And Durbin was at that point.
So you asked Durbin how it feels to step down at this pivotal moment when many are saying that American democracy is at a crossroads. Let's listen.
We're at a inflection point in terms of the future of our democracy. I'm the ranking Democrat on the Senate Judiciary Committee, an important position. I have opportunities and responsibilities when it comes to decisions of this administration that relate directly to the Constitution. I've thought about that long and hard. If there was one thing that would draw me back in, it's thinking that over and over again. I don't plan to get involved in Democratic primary if there is one for the United States Senate. Let the voters decide. But I'm not going to rule out the possibility if something goes in a direction that I think is serious and I need to address it.
You touched on this earlier, Dave, but tell us a bit more. How critical has Senator Durbin been of President Trump? And I'm talking about it in both this administration as well as during Trump's first time in the White House.
Well, you know, I mean, it is interesting because, I mean, when I last talked to Durbin ahead of the convention last year, I did a kind of a lengthy profile on him, really built around this notion, will he or won't he run again? Durbin made a point of saying that if Trump were to win election last year, that he did see possibly an opening to working with him because there was legislation during Trump's first term dealing with criminal justice that Durbin played a hand in and worked with the administration on. So he held out some hope of being able to work with Trump. But since Trump got elected, it's mostly been a one-way street here where, you know, things have been coming so fast and furious out of the White House that have been controversial, unprecedented, and the like. Durbin and his Democratic colleagues in Congress have been trying to scramble to react to that and in a lot of cases try to do what they can to block it. He He's been critical of the cuts that have gone on in the different state agencies through Elon Musk and his people. He's been critical of Trump's attacks on law firms and on universities. He has been critical of a lot of appointments that Trump has made, folks that Durbin regards as being unqualified. I mean, the most recent one was a U.S. attorney pick in the Washington, D.C. circuit, where this is a gentleman who had been on Russian state television more than 150 times. And Durbin, you know, is demanding hearings on that disclosure, which this gentleman did not tell the Judiciary Committee. So Durbin has really kind of been front and center reacting to a lot of the stuff coming out of the White House.
And of course, no surprise, he's leaving an open seat, and many Democrats are said to be interested. I want to play a little bit of what Senator Durbin told you about that race to fill the seat.
We have a deep bench in Illinois, and I'm sure that a talented, skilled person will emerge to succeed me. I'm looking forward to that.
He also had this to say.
A lot of people have contacted me and made it clear they wouldn't run against me, but they were seriously thinking about running for a vacant Senate seat. So that list could grow dramatically.
Dave, what are some of the names that you've been hearing floated around? Are you expecting announcements soon?
Well, yeah, I mean, we've already seen, you know, within minutes of Durbin's announcement today, I mean, I got a press release in my email queue from Lauren Underwood's
really?
People, you know, touting a poll that she says shows her ahead of the pack in terms of the potential successors. But, you know, Underwood, the congresswoman from far northwest suburban Chicago, is in that mix. You know, runs the gamut from former Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel to Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton to Northwest Suburban Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthi, Robin Kelly, the South Suburban Congresswoman. I mean, the list goes on and on. Durbin said that was just only a partial, as he said in the clip, only just a partial kind of sampling of the number of folks there. I asked him, could it exceed a dozen people? And he seemed to leave room open for that possibility. So I think what we are going to be facing in Illinois is probably a wide open primary that will literally be starting right now ahead of next spring's primary in the U.S. Senate race.
I'm curious, do you think this cracks the door open to a Republican who wants the seat? Like, could we see a moderate, like, former U.S. Congressman Adam Kinzinger compete for it?
Well, I mean, Kinzinger, I think that there's some potential where Kinzinger could have statewide appeal. But of course, I mean, the problem that a guy like Kinzinger faces is getting out of a primary. And the fact that you know, these Republican primaries, not only in Illinois, but across the country, are kind of dominated by MAGA influences, people, the pro-Trump wing of the party. We saw that in the last gubernatorial election with the former state senator Darren Bailey being kind of cut out of the Trump mold, getting a nomination. And that really kind of runs against the historic example where Republicans were kind of fiscally conservative but socially moderate, the people like Jim Edgar, Jim Thompson, George Ryan, those types. And so I think a guy like Kinzinger would struggle. You know, you look at Durbin has over five Senate elections. The closest any Republican got to him was, I think, an 11 percentage point spread. And in one example, it was nearly a 40 percentage point spread. So I think the Republican Party, while this is an opportunity for them, it's a real long shot. They're going to have to scramble to find a viable candidate here.
I see. Well, Durbin will be 82 when he leaves office in a couple years. Did he say what's next for him post-politics?
Well, you know, it's interesting because these people who leave public office after a long time like him, you know, I think of the Jim Edgars of the world, the former governor. I mean, he went out and he, you know, helped create a leadership group called the Edgar Fellows. That was an example. Durbin's own mentor, Paul Simon, when he left office back in the 90s, he created a public policy institute at Southern Illinois University. And so I don't get the sense right now that Durbin has looked that far into the future. You know, he could have a role in academia in some sort. or you know, something like that.
Yeah.
He didn't really specify. So, but I do think that, you know, he's certainly like every other retiree, you know, looking to spend quality time with his wife, kids, grandkids.
Right.
And beyond that, you know, who knows?
Well, he'll have some time to figure it out. That's WBEZ state politics reporter Dave McKinney. Now, to read more about Senator Durbin's announcement today, just go to WBEZ.org or suntimes.com. This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced and edited by Dan Tucker. It was mixed by Ari Mejia. Reset wants to make sure you stay in the know and connected to what's going on in Chicago and beyond. To make sure you never miss an episode, hit subscribe wherever you listen or find us at WBEZ.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again soon.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.